I'm glad to have today with me Tim Berry and Marsh Fant, both from the GFA home office. And I'm looking forward to talking with them, having a conversation with them about a very important topic. We're talking this year on the internal podcast about persevering in ministry, staying faithful to the Lord until the end. And we're talking about some of the dangers that people in ministry face, some of the sins and failures that actually bring disqualification and actually derail people from pursuing the Lord, pursuing ministry, staying faithful in ministry until the end. And the topic we're going to talk about today, we're titling it The Danger of Unreconciled Relationships. And this is such an important topic today. And you know anything about missions history and really the history of the church, we know that this is a topic that is always live. This has been a source of great failure, great consternation to the Church of Christ throughout church history. And we want today to share some things from Scripture, share some things from experience, some counsel, really to help us all be faithful to the Lord until the end and not become disqualified through unreconciled relationships. So really glad to be able to have Tim and Marsh here with me recording. Looking forward to drawing from their knowledge of Scripture, from their long years of experience teaching God's Word and counseling people and helping people in this area. So Tim, Marsh, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, we'll start with this question. What is an unreconciled relationship? What do we mean by that? They're both pointing at each other. I think maybe we ought to start like this. Tim, you have anything against Marsh? Okay. No. Marsh, you have anything against Tim?
No,
okay,
we're good.
We're good to go.
Yeah, make sure we're reconciled with each other first. So here we go.
Okay, so what is an unreconciled relationship? What do we mean by that?
Well, this is Marsh. I would simply say that an unreconciled relationship is biblically in Matthew 5 when anybody has aught or anything against you or you have anything against somebody else. So I think that's the way I would introduce it, would be anything can cause this, and Matthew 5 addresses it. So that's where I would start with it.
So when you have anything, when you have aught against someone or someone has aught against you, that would be a lack of reconciliation.
Yeah, and I would simply add that me against them that love would not cover.
Mm,
okay, that love cannot cover that.
Mm.
That means I need to go. Mm.
Yeah, good.
And similarly, I tried to think of different words. I mean, the same idea, but you know, it doesn't. I had words like sin, like either you sin against somebody, or they sin against you. It could be that level. It could just somebody who wronged you. It could be somebody who just hurt you. We talk about the ought. It may not necessarily be that they sinned against you or you sinned against them, but in some way you ended up hurting them. And I think that's a good, helpful thought that love cannot cover, that there isn't yet forgiveness of that.
Yeah, that's helpful. And actually had not thought about going down this road, but y'all started it, so we're going to do it. I really like this, just this thought of anything that love can't cover. And I actually do think that there are probably many, many occasions we could look around and see unreconciled relationships today that should never have been if there had been this willingness just to overlook an offense. Either one of you want to pursue that a little bit, just this, really this, the privilege we have of followers of Christ of just absorbing offenses when we can. And just letting it go.
Yeah, I think, you know, six questions we're always asking. They're not new with me. They're old in the counseling world. You know, as we think through these oughts, first, do I have my facts right? Do I even remember it correctly? Secondly, should love hide? Is it sinful, hindering spiritual growth? Is my timing right? Is my attitude right? Am I trying to help the other person? Are my words loving? And lastly, have I asked for God's help in this? So as we think about the ought, am I even thinking this thing right of what happened, you know? And I think that's where we have to start.
Yeah.
And I go back and ask myself those questions.
Yeah. So love covering that would be if I might be seeing this wrong, and maybe the best thing for me to do is just to let it go and just not let it become something that festers in this relationship with this person.
Yeah, what comes to mind is maybe when it first hit me that forgiveness is your shouldering the cost of when you let it go, you are shouldering the cost. And it, you know, when it hit me was I was practicing driving with my daughter and she hit a mailbox. And so, you know, went up to the door, you know, and knocked on the door, guy down the road a little bit from us, and said, "Hey there, you know, we live down here," and we were practicing, and we just kind of nicked your mailbox, and it's a little bit askew, and, you know, what do I need to do? What, you know, how much, and I'll cover. He's like, and I kind of turned it, so it really was okay again, but I just, you know, he said, "Listen," he said, "no, it's fine." He said, "just consider taken care of, and it's fine." And I walked away thinking, okay, he just shouldered the cost of covering that mailbox.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, that is what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, I mean, there is genuine hurt. I mean, it's not like somebody didn't hurt you or didn't wrong you or didn't sin against you. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. Mm-hmm. The issue is, okay, I will, for Christ's sake, I'll absorb the cost. I'll absorb that and move forward with the Lord.
That's great. Good. Good.
Yeah, sometimes, Tim, to follow up, it's a great point. Somebody say, okay, so when should love not cover it? Okay, and the common answer would be, okay, if you know it's hindering their spiritual growth and they're not going to grow because of this, then you do need to go. Otherwise, shoulder the cost. I love that phrase. That's a great phrase.
Yeah, that's good. I've thought about that question, when does love cover and when is it something to pursue? Mm-hmm. And I think when it's just a personal offense,
right,
that's something that I ought to just be able to absorb. But if it's something that's going to be a sin that's going to take hold in this person's life,
correct,
now it's something that I need to pursue out of love for this person, mm-hmm, to help this person grow. That's great. Thank you, guys. Good. So what relationships are at risk here? If we're talking about the danger of unreconciled relationships, help us think through the kinds of relationships that are at risk when we talk about this topic.
I wrote down one word, all. Yeah. So, I mean, really, I think all of our relationships are at risk if there's unresolved conflict.
And the one we often ignore is our relationship with the Lord. Mm. We think horizontally, you know, because every sin, go back to the prodigal, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. So we know every sin is a sin against God as well.
Good.
And the most important thing is, this is a sin against a holy God, and then everything else, all others as well. But we've got to come to that realization that we're commanded to attempted reconciliation is required by God. Mm. Attempted reconciliation is required by God, okay, and the relationships at risk is first my relationship with my Savior. Mm.
Very good. Amen. And probably most urgently, we
yes
would say. Yeah, good. Good.
That's good. I wasn't thinking as spiritually as Marsh was.
Oh boy.
But I was thinking more horizontally.
Now he has some odd against. Now he has
a lot against him.
Now he has odd against you, Tim,
for making me look bad. But I don't know if this is related to the question here, but I just thought, you know, one of the realms in which we can practice this kind of reconciliation is at our own homes. Like, I think, you know, think of, like, as missionaries, you know, issues with colleagues, issues with locals or nationals. But I think one of the areas God has given us to practice in dealing with ministry colleagues, with people we're working with, discipling and so on, is in our homes and learning how to maintain reconciled relationships with our wife and with our children. And we have 6 children. We have 8 centers under one roof right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn the humility of saying, you know, I didn't handle that quite right. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Good. You know, and just being willing to go back like that. And that is great practice for when you launch out and you're dealing with ministry colleagues, whether equals or somebody who's above you, or people that you're working with in a church setting.
Good. Good. What are some causes of this issue? What causes these rifts that result in unreconciled relationships? How does this happen?
Oh, I think it goes, I mean, we all know this, but pride. We refuse to humble ourselves before God or before whoever and go and ask, John, I sinned against you, I sinned against God when I lied to you on this report, would you please forgive me? And I think pride is what stands in our way of having that clear conscience. We refuse to humble ourselves. In James 5:16, we are to humble ourselves. Mm. when we do that, we're willing and we do it biblically. And remember the humility it took to go and ask forgiveness or go and try to make things right. Then you think a second time before you slander somebody or whatever your sin may be.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what can you, you know, how can you, I mean, it is pride. I thought of James 3, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That's basically the same thing. Yeah. Those are the roots. I suppose where it shows itself would be disagreements over, it can be ministry philosophy. It can be over dealing with people. I mean, think of Paul and Barnabas. How do you deal with this person? And you have two different answers, and it leads them to go different ways. Miscommunication, misunderstandings. It can be, I know, like in our setting in the Philippines, wonderful team, even how you dealt with a coworker's child, for example, and they felt like you did something unfair or didn't quite handle it correctly, and so they're a little bit upset about that, and that can just snowball into something that's even worse.
Yeah, I think we also go to Romans, to the weaker brother, stronger brother. And we clearly understand that one of us could get puffed up thinking we have with a stronger brother. But I think an interesting thing there is the weaker brother is never spoken bad about in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So regardless of where we think we're weaker or stronger, we've got to give grace.
Wow, good.
And so the cause is being puffed up. Mm-hmm. We know, you know, love is not puffed up. And in Corinthians, it talks about not being puffed up against your brother until all things are revealed. And so we got to be careful. But again, the pride, and there could be, you know, true differences of what we consider righteous bedtimes for children, okay, on the field. I want my kids in bed at 8, you want yours at 9, and we got this meeting. And, you know, so I mean, there could be some really things that the Bible is left for wisdom issues that we try to make a biblical mandate. Mm-hmm. And that person doing that may become puffed up in pride.
It's good.
But those are some causes. And again, if, like Tim just pointed out, if Paul and Barnabas have this problem, who are we to think we cannot have these reconciliation problems?
Good. That's really good. Just think about this idea of applying your own views, and obviously not talking about explicitly biblical areas, but applying your own views to people and requiring that they act in the way that you would, and just having this kind of this exacting type spirit that everything has to be the way that I want. And then when somebody doesn't measure up, well, now I'm going to be out of sorts with that person, and that person's probably out of sorts with me because I'm requiring something of him that is not really my place to require. And just all these things, I think you're right, that they go back to pride and just an elevated opinion of our own views and of our what we deserve and the way that other people should respond to us. And it really does all go back to pride. So only by pride cometh contention. Mm-hmm. So that's good. So you think about, let's assume something like this has happened. This offense has been left there to fester a little bit. And now you've got these two people or two families or two groups, and they're actually looking askance at each other. There's some distance there. There's a lack of reconciliation. What are the results of that? What are some consequences of that when it's left there and reconciliation is not achieved?
Well, thinking in terms of being a missionary and taking this to, I don't want to say to an extreme, but you know, it can lead to people leaving the field. And it won't always be stated. There will be other factors as well. But sometimes the major factor is there was just friction with colleagues, and they ended up feeling the Lord was leading them to a different field or maybe a different place. Mm-hmm. In missions history, Jonathan Goforth, there was an issue with a fellow missionary, and he wrestled with God about that and knew he had to get that right, and eventually surrendered and said, okay, Lord, when I get back home, I will talk to that brother and I will get it right. And that was when he saw real spiritual breakthrough and power in his ministry in that area.
Wow.
So loss of spiritual power.
Mm.
Obviously, loss of unity. And it can be even to the extent where the people you're working with, they kind of sense that. It can even get to that point. But there can be a loss of unity that leads to loss of trust. Mm-hmm. Then there's loss of communication, and you're pulling away from each other. Mm-hmm. And then you're all in the same canoe, but you're not rowing together. And so these are some of the consequences mm-hmm. that can be there.
Yeah, well, that's really wise.
Yeah, and I would add to that, of course, Proverbs 28:13, you know, if we're going to cover it, we're not going to prosper. And I think more importantly, as we're talking about coworkers, if the Lord's Supper is a very, very important part of every local church, and if you got coworkers serving the Lord's table together and there's aught against either one of them, then you got a consequence of God's judgment.
Mm.
Because to me, as a servant, as a pastor, as a missionary, whatever role you're in, the Lord's Supper has got to be, the 1 Corinthians 11, we've got to examine ourselves and be willing to walk away from the Lord's table and not willing to serve it. I mean, I'm thinking now, if you got two people, two pastors or two missionaries serving the Lord's table side by side, and there is aught, major aught, and has been for some time, they are not living in the reality of 1 Corinthians 11.
Mm.
They're not.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But yet again, the other side of that is what? The joy, the great joy of 1 Corinthians 11 driving us to reconciliation.
Mm. Wow.
And so I always want to focus, on that joy first of a clear conscience for God and man and those we're serving with.
Mm.
The other part of it would be, I think this is the importance of coworkers praying together. So how can we get on our knees together, or even if you're praying just over the phone together? The prayer together should be a natural insulation device against this alt against others. It should be, it should drive us to be reconciled. And I know here in the home office, I'm sure the missionaries are aware, this is one of the benefits. Every Thursday morning we gather for prayer at 8:30 as directors. And well, some of us are by Zoom, but still we're praying together. And there's no way we should go before the Lord, you know, as we're gathered as directors to pray together. So praying together to me is essential. It's a safeguard.
Yeah.
To keep the joy of ministry and not allowing discouragement or distractions to set in because we're unreconciled.
Yeah, good, good. I think it works the other way as well. If we let that lack of reconciliation fester, then we're not really going to be able to join our hearts together and approach the Lord together. We won't be able to do it. We won't have that unity of heart as we seek to pray together. So that's good.
Yeah, and as a family, as a couple, and you know, I think we need to spend time with the Lord. I have a 15-minute rule, 15 minutes with my wife, and when the kids are in the home, at least 15 minutes with the family. And that eliminates this as we pray together and just talk through it, that we cannot pray together to end the day or start the day if we're unreconciled with each other.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow, sobering. Well, this year, again, as I said at the beginning, we're focusing on perseverance in ministry and enduring until the end. So this question, we're going to kind of narrow on this idea of the consequences, and we're going to narrow down to our own souls. How could unreconciled relationships affect our own souls to the point that we end up being disqualified for spiritual leadership? Can that happen, I guess, first of all? And how does that happen? How does a lack of reconciliation with someone else or with some other group, how does that actually affect our souls to the point where we would not be qualified for ministry any longer?
Yeah, I would say simply you're in disobedience to God. That's the big one. Matthew 5, go. Matthew 18, go. So if the first thing is we're disqualified because we are living in open disobedience to clear passages of imperatives in Scripture.
Yeah, right.
Both of those are imperatives. Matthew 5, Matthew 18, those are non-negotiables. And so I think that's the first way we're going to be disqualified. And then you got all those other dominoes that fall after that. Tim, you want to pick it up from there?
I think probably there's something, I would think, in our spirits that would register when we know there's a problem and when we see that person in a ministry context or wherever, and there's just sense of a pulling back in our spirit and recognizing when that is there and thinking to ourselves, okay, then I need to either, what was your phrase? I need to have love cover that.
Yeah.
Or I need to go after that in some way and say, hey, brother, sister, you know, let me just kind of talk to you about this. This is bothering me. And I think just being honest about that and willing to talk through it.
Mm. And I can tell you in my own heart, if I find myself blame shifting, I say, whoa, okay. So the minute I hear myself blame shifting or that sudden outburst of anger, whoa, where'd that come from? Then I got to go back and say, where am I not right with God? What have I not made right with others or my wife? Or I mean, those are my two key points. Yeah. Okay. And I know my heart's not right when I start blame shifting.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And blaming the church or blaming others or, you know, but that's just me.
Mm.
And those are the things, okay, I'm not right with God right now.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that can lead you to further spiritual disaster because if you know that's there and you don't want to address it, then you tend to, you're looking for a distraction or something else to do to kind of, you know, push away the sense of guilt or sin. And then what are you going to turn to?
Right.
It's either going to be a time waster at best, or it could be, you've just opened yourself up to other sins of the flesh. And, you know, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to look at? What are you going to listen to? Mm-hmm. You know, as you try to idle your time away to push off this sense of what you ought to do.
Mm.
Wow. You know, you think of David, who my understanding of 2 Samuel 11 is he was in the wrong place. So that was when kings went out to war and he didn't go for whatever reason. And he's in the wrong place, and it just kind of opens the door to everything else that then follows. And when we, as Marsh said, when we disobey the Lord, we put ourselves in a wrong place. And that just opens the door to further steps away from the Lord.
Yeah. Hearing you, both of you, share those thoughts, those answers, it makes me think you have this issue with someone, and you don't deal with it scripturally. And actually something in your soul kind of withers over time, and it dulls your own spiritual life because you, Tim, like you said, you're around this person in a ministry context, or you see this person, or you see something about this person, and there's this little conscience issue that crops up, and you quiet that down, and it actually does dull your soul. And that is such a grave consequence, as the two of you have shared so well, that my own soul could wither if I don't deal with this relationship in the way that God requires of me. And the consequences of that are so, so many and so grave that it could actually lead me to sins of character that would disqualify me from being a minister of the gospel. So I think that's the urgency here of this issue, that we just leave these things to fester, and it's not just that the relationship sours, something inside of my own soul sours, and the edge of my spiritual life starts to get blunted more and more, and then these other consequences just flow out of that you've mentioned.
This thing on blame shifting that you mentioned, Marsh, I think of these verses in Proverbs, a wise man listens to rebuke. Reproof is the way to life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talk to children, you know, and you say, yes, daddy, I know. Yeah, I know. And then as adults, we kind of can be the same way. Yeah, I know. And really, part of blame shifting can be where we are not listening to reproof or rebuke. And, you know, it's funny how everybody else in the situation is at fault, and we just can't see it. And so really, reproof is the way to life.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah.
And just keeping that in mind, especially when you know it's well-meaning or it's well-intended, just to run roughshod over that and dismiss it as entirely off base or wrong. It's always funny to me, a wise man listens to rebuke.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the person who doesn't need the rebuke. You know, in theory, he's a wise man. You know, a wise man listens to rebuke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that as we go through and God's convicted us, two-edged here, that God has convicted us of our sin and we need to go and ask forgiveness. And as I was saved in college and then started to learn and grow, and somebody challenged me that on forgiveness, you need to think about those you've sinned against and go ask forgiveness. I was so just desiring to serve God, and I sat down one day, took the day, and made a list of everybody I'd sinned against. Mm-hmm. Lord, I prayed. I just spent time with the Lord. I had two legal pads, two pages.
Wow.
And I made a vow because I wanted the peace and the joy of God in my life.
Amen.
I did not want to harbor sin.
Mm.
And I never will forget, you know, it was before the internet and all that. So there were two or three at the end. I couldn't find them. I said, God, you got to bring them my way.
Wow.
And I cannot tell you when that last one, some of the arrangements God made.
Wow.
When that last one was struck, and I sinned against you, I sinned against God. Mm. And, you know, just the joy and the peace as a young believer.
Wow.
And then, as you know, in the ministry on the other side, you may get accused of things that really may or may not be true. In 2 Corinthians 2, it talks about that we are that sweet aroma demonstrating his knowledge. Mm. So I think the way we respond when someone comes to us in conflict or unresolved, Paul says, I want to be that sweet-smelling aroma. So as we are being broken or challenged or whatever, we need to be that because we can spread the knowledge of Christ by the way we respond when a brother does come to us, you know? So on either side of this, we need to be that broken vessel and experience the joy of Christ as either being the one going and asking forgiveness or someone coming to you and saying, hey, use whatever it may be. But we need to be that aroma of his knowledge to others.
Wow. Amen. Wow. That's wonderful. Well, finally, maybe you could both share a couple of passages of Scripture, a few passages of Scripture that could help us in this area, either a passage that will help us avoid these kinds of unreconciled relationships, or maybe passages that would stir us and help us as we maybe need to pursue reconciliation with someone and go and grant forgiveness or ask forgiveness. Some passages of Scripture that you could share with us that could help.
I'd say the last one I'd like to share, because we didn't cover it, would be Romans 12:18. Attempted reconciliation is required. But we all know, at least at my age, there are people you've sinned against, they're no longer alive. So as much as it lies within me, I need to be at peace with all people. And there's certain people that will not, that either I can't find or are not going to be reconciled. But it's not going to be at my account. I want to do as much as required within me, I'm going to live at peace with all people. Amen. And Paul is saying here, there are some people we cannot live in peace with, but may the Lord, may it be that I'm going to attempt to.
Right. Mm.
And then I have a clear conscience. Mm-hmm. And therefore, when I enter the prayer closet or the pulpit or with my family or wherever I am, I have that clear conscience. And therefore, the joy of the Lord should be working through me.
Mm.
And there should be no hindrances. But I've got to do my part with the realization, okay, God, it's up to you. For any I can. But Romans 12:18, I think, is a good passage for me to end on.
Yeah, that's good.
Good. One of the verses I wanted to share was from Romans 12:2. It's the very last verse, verse 21 in that chapter. Be not overcome of evil.
Yeah.
But overcome evil with good.
Yep.
And I was reading a book, and the author pointed out that the first half of the verse is also a command. Do not be overcome with evil. And his point was, this was a book on marriage, but his point was, if you as a husband, if you are overcome by your wife's evil, you have sinned. Because the command is, do not be overcome by somebody else's evil. And you just take that into ministry context. If I am overcome by somebody else's evil, I have sinned.
Wow.
And I've just found that concept to be very helpful, that I am wrong, I am sinning, if their evil overcomes me to the point where I respond the same way. So that's been a helpful verse. And then I think of James 1:20. So often the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I think there are times when we just feel like you're dealing with somebody or something, you're like, I'm going to give this person a piece of my mind. And our burden is to work righteousness in them. I mean, that is our burden. But sinful human anger will not work the righteousness of God, James 1:20.
That's great.
I cannot sin in the way I address somebody else's problem and expect it to produce righteousness in them.
Excellent.
And so that verse has really been a help to me as well over the years.
That's great.
Yeah, one more. The servant of the Lord must not
strive.
So I don't care what the situation is. If I'm a servant of God, I'm not going to be argumentative about it. The first thing is my inner lawyer pops up. That's the first thing. All right, if that's the case, I am not walking in the Spirit.
Great.
So the servant of the Lord must not strive.
Wow.
Anyway, we could go on.
Great.
That's it for me.
Wow. That inner lawyer, that one strikes. Wow. That's really good because we are guilty of that, right? That we got one of those inside of us.
We do.
And that's not the right response. Wow. That's great. Well, I'll share one more text or truth. Romans 5. I'm just thinking of this whole topic. You know, we've been talking about this for a little over half an hour. And we really ought to keep this entire topic in this context, that it's while we were enemies, God reconciled us to himself through the death of his son. And we really do need to keep this idea of reconciliation on the horizontal level in light of what God has done to bring us into a relationship of peace with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has gone so far to make us his children and reconcile us to himself.
Amen.
And that ought to drive us to really to spare no effort by the grace of God to live at peace with one another and to pursue reconciliation, to offer forgiveness, to ask forgiveness whenever it is needed. Because God has done so much to bring us to peace with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to keep that front and center as the motivator to really push us toward pursuing peace with all men as much as lies within us. Good. Well, thank you both. Thank you for your time and effort to share with us today. And maybe we could close in prayer. We don't always do that on these internal podcasts, but maybe it'd be a good idea today to close in prayer. And really ask the Lord to work these truths into our hearts and enable us by his grace to live in a way that honors him by displaying this pursuit of peace and reconciliation with one another. Father, thank you for the chance to share today these passages of Scripture, this good counsel. Thank you for Tim and Marsh and their willingness to invest in us by preparing and sharing these truths and these thoughts with us. And Lord, we know that in our flesh there is nothing good.
Yes.
And we are so often prone, we are always prone to pride. And we do need your grace. We need the working of your Spirit in our hearts to produce in us the humility to seek reconciliation. And Lord, we need to pursue that humility. We need to clothe ourselves with humility. Lord, help us. Help us do that. And help those within the GFA family who perhaps right now have a need of speaking with someone maybe in their own family, maybe in their ministry on the field, maybe someone back in the U.S., Lord, whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts so that we would be obedient to your word, obedient to our Lord, and go and make these things right. Lord, please help us. And Lord, do not allow any kind of grievance that we have experienced, anything that we may have in the past experienced with another person, Lord, do not let it fester in our hearts and blunt our own spiritual lives. Lord, help us to deal with it according to your word and for your name's sake. and ultimately for the testimony of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for the time to talk through these things today. Pray that you would use this conversation for your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.